you today for the things we don't even know to be thankful for the things you've kept us from, for the way you've protected us, for how you've just sweep us in your arms when something dreadful could happen. How you open up your word like a flower that just unfolds before us, and its aroma is so sweet. How you rebuke us on occasion in love and in grace, so that we are a deeper disciple because of it. And I thank you, Lord God, for not only each one that has given thanks, but all that are in your house today. This is not a spectator sport. We are a part of a living body of believers. And I thank you for it, and I pray you'd bring life today through your word. The same word that said, let there be light. Let your word spring out of us. That life, that light, that healing, Lord, that wisdom, whatever it is we individually need from your hand. And we thank you, Lord, for it. We ask now your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I love Ephesians. We're not going to stay there, but we're going to start there. How many have ever used all detergent? It came on the market in 1959, and I was 3 years old and just starting really well to make good messes, I think. So maybe that's why it came out. But nonetheless, all. When we think about Thanksgiving and we think about having a thankful heart, there's one word the Bible specifically refers to, and that's the word all, A-L-L. And I want you to stand for the reading of the word and really pay attention to each word that's up here. Please stand. Ephesians 5 and the 20th verse. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You probably feel like what my dad used to say when he'd come to the church. Well, this, we were raised Lutheran, and of course there's a lot of liturgy and it's up and down, and he'd say, I feel like a ping pong ball. I'm just going like this, you know. So we'll try to keep the sports to a minimum. But in this wonderful, wonderful letter of Ephesians, one of the Pauline epistles, it is always strikes me about Paul, because of his choleric behavior and his personality, this is a man that would have run over people and not even noticed they were on the road in his pre-conversion days. He had a mission, he had a thought in mind, and he just went forward. And if there was a little bump and he realized at some point he ran someone over, he wouldn't even have given it a thought. But in his letters, as God has redeemed him, there's a word that filters through it, and it's the word thanks. The word thanks. I can't underestimate this word in my life. I know it changed my life. I know it did. When I realized that to be thankful was a choice and not an emotion, made all the difference in the world. I could make a choice to be thankful, or I could make a choice to have a bad attitude. So at this time of Thanksgiving, what we have is we have all. We have that stain-lifting detergent, so to speak, that lifts stains and lifts things out of our life. Do you know, realize there will be things in your life you'll never have victory over until you say thank you? Doesn't mean you have to be thankful for evil. It means thankful in the situation, God can work out his best. But we do need to have a thankful spirit. So the key word is all. Now I asked Dave to start putting some notes up here. Some of my notes that are in Greek in particular, things so that if you want to write stuff down, you certainly can. And when I get really organized, I'll probably have them in writing as well to hand out after the service. All. In Ephesians, the Bible said, all, give thanks for everything. The word thanks is the word, the same word you'll find in the liturgical churches for communion, which is the Eucharist. That's what the word is. Give thanks, or thanks, is Eucharistentis. And it's where we get Eucharist, the word many denominations use for the table of communion. And I want you to look inside that word. There's another word, C-H-A-R-I-S. C-H-A-R-I-S. It's the word charis, and it means grace. The graces of God, like the gifts of God, and all of that, which includes salvation, the ministry gifts, gifts of the Spirit, whatever it is, inside that table, inside that word thanks, is the word the grace. Maybe it's where they get the idea of saying grace at the table, at the dinner table. Makes sense to me anyway. It's important to understand these words because they give a deeper flavor to the scripture. And it reminds us, everything God does comes out of grace. And it takes a lot of grace to say thank you to the insurance people for Jerry. It takes a lot of grace to say thank you when somebody comes over to your house for Thanksgiving and puts really big mud stains on your beautiful floor. I'm saying thanks in anticipation because we have a new floor. That's what it's talking about. Thanks. You can go on to the next frame. It says, it's in the name of Jesus, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, some of you are going to get gift cards for Christmas or birthdays or whatever. And you know, when you get a card, it always tells you who gave it to you, in whose name it was written. Everything we have as a Christian is in the name of Jesus. He is the gift giver. It's because of him, it's in him, it's through him, it's all about him. And the scripture also says, of course, it's through the Father. Our thanks go to the Father, God and Father, which reminds us of the great Trinity here when you look through it. But when we're talking here about all, it's talking about all times and in all things. It's very specific. You can follow along up here if you want. The Greek word pantote, P-A-N-T-O-T-E, is always or all times. Does that give you any exceptions? Does that give you any other options? Nope. And I like the idea that at the end of this word is the word tote, T-O-T-E. I see a lot of you guys carrying totes. At the end of it, if you're thankful or grumbling, you'll be carrying it with you daily. That's what a tote is. It carries things. And if you have a thankful heart, it's going to be in that tote bag. And if you have a grumbling one, it's also going to be in there. And the Lord spot checks throughout the day to find out which one's in there. Clean it out, folks, just in case. The Greek word for pantone is every kind, and it also includes the whole. So not only are we to be thankful all times, but also for everything, every situation, every circumstance. And when you notice the word the whole, it means not just for one event, but the entire thing. Because around that circle, around that universe, so to speak, your universe, God wants us to be thankful no matter what's happening, because he's bigger than that universe, and he will make it for good. And he's the only one that can. So we need to be thankful in everything and for everything, individually and as a whole. This portion in Ephesians, when it's talking about it, it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to talk about submitting one to another in the body of Christ and out of reverence for him. And it continues on into wives and husbands. It continues on into the family unit, which is the structure of society, which, of course, as you know, is under fire constantly. They are going to try to continue to change that. That family is whatever you identify it as. No, family is what God identified. To have a thankful spirit for your family. That's tough sometimes, isn't it? What do they say? Your friends you can choose, but your family you can't. Be thankful for them anyway. They need somebody to love them and to have a Christian attitude toward them. I remember that with my dad when he was dying, and most people when they're dying, you know, they maybe want to say, here's my, you can have my fishing reel, you can have this. My dad said, did you forgive me? That's what he said. The greatest gift he could have given. He didn't really realize how great it was. Absolutely fabulous. God wants to touch families. And so, when we were in the seminar last week, I had asked people if they wanted to give a testimony. And Lil wants to share. So she's going to get the microphone and she's going to share from where she is. We love Grandma Lil.
Thank you. I want to thank God first for the privilege of coming to the seminar a week ago. Many miracles took place there. Besides the refreshing for myself in the study, it was very happy to have my daughter and son Bob and my daughter-in-law Nancy there. They attended, and Bob renewed his faith to Christ, as Nancy did also. I'm overwhelmed. Yet God is so good, and we need to give him praise at all times. Don't give up praying for your family and friends, and thank God for them. God works in his own timing. We need to be faithful and wait for the blessings of hope. Jesus brought my son back to the fold, and praise God for that. And I want to thank Duane for bringing in the seminar. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We're going to hear more testimonies throughout the next couple weeks. When the Lord said, give thanks for all, he really meant it. Because it not only changes us, but it changes the world around us, the people we're with. Whether we realize it or not, we have an effect on people. So I want you to turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Because when we put up the word all, I want to put up another letter. For some of the things we need to be grateful, one of them is the call of God. Okay, turn to Galatians 5:13 and change the frame. Yep. 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. If you were in a concentration camp, how grateful would you be to be free? That you can breathe air. That you can have clean clothes. That you can eat food your food, how grateful would you be? Hopefully you would be free. You'd be glad to be free. The word free here, ekklesit, it's in the past tense, which means God already called us. He already did the work, which is fabulous. And it comes, it's a deeper root, means kaleo, K-A-L-E-O. And it means to invite and to name you, to summons and to a call. If you got a summons in the mail or somebody came to your door and gave you a summons, well, right after you had a heart attack, you'd say, what's that for? That means I got to go to court, right? God called us. He summoned us. He brought us right into his presence through Jesus Christ, his son, and his gift. And we don't have to be worried when we come in the name of Jesus and we come in the relationship that God has given us. He called us an invitation into an eternal relationship. And we are called to freedom. This word, Eleutheria, means liberty. Liberty. It's a great word. Now, in the military, I think liberty is when you go out in R&R, right? Have your fun. Some people think when they get saved, they can go out in their liberty. You know, that'd be like somebody being free from alcoholism after years and years of being an alcoholic. And then going, I got free, let's go celebrate and have one on us. How much sense does that make? That's like many years ago, I knew of a group, I'm trying to remember the exact name, but it would be similar to Overeaters Anonymous. I think it was Overeaters Victorious. And the chairman wasn't thinking when he came to the board meeting. And he brought a big pile of beautiful donuts. I mean, just rich, gooey donuts. Probably not the best choice for people having a little difficulty. The word liberty in its original means to be set free from slavery. That's what it means. And if you don't think you weren't a slave to sin, you got another thing coming. It was dragging you. You were not leading it. That's a fact. And in the Greek, it doesn't just say you are called to freedom, it's to the freedom. The definite article, meaning there's only one freedom in Jesus. I don't care how many programs you have, I don't care what the world has to offer, they can have wisdom to a degree. You will not be totally delivered unless you're under the freedom of Jesus Christ. I don't care what philosophies you go by, I don't care what programs. If it's not in Jesus, it is not a complete freedom. So, but he does go on to give us wisdom. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. You know what it's called? It's called freedom, not fleedom. Okay? It's freedom, not fleedom. Not to flee to whatever you want. Or whatever I want, for that matter. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And the word indulge in that sense is the word up here, the Greek word for an occasion, a forum, means a starting place, and it means an opportunity for evil. Did you know that the devil doesn't give you a roadmap when he tempts you? He gives you one spot. He says, go to that place. Because he knows when you go to that place, it will take you the rest of the way. That's what it will do. Bible's very clear here. In your freedom, don't give it up. Don't flee. Don't run after your own. Don't say, well, I'm free now. I'm free to live my way. I can. Bible says, is our freedom a cloak of sinful pleasure? No. It's we're supposed to continue to walk in the way. Of course, it sums it up and says to serve one another. You know, if we can go from serving ourselves, which is what sin is, to serving others, you're going to find out something that is remarkable, which I found out years ago. And that was this. When I began to serve others, God began to take care of my stuff. I didn't even have to ask most of the time, which was lovely. It's true. It's how God works. So, now we're going to go to another one. And I want you to go to Micah in the Old Testament. You know, the old days, they used to give you the page it was on. So if you have a pew Bible, it's 1,445, it looks like. No, it isn't. It's 48, probably. 49. Well, you know I can count. Okay. Micah 7:7-8 says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord." Why? Because I want to be thankful in all things. I want to be thankful for salvation. I want to be thankful for the call of God. And I want to be thankful when I fall. That's a tough one to be thankful for, isn't it? Why do people fall? Now, sometimes we're not looking and we trip over something. Sometimes we're in such a hurry, we're just not paying attention at all. And then sometimes there's obstacles that get in the way. But here's one of the real reasons. Sometimes God uses a fall to let us know we're going in the wrong direction so we can get up, repent, which means turn around, and go in the direction he wants us in. And so Micah, the prophet in the Old Testament, who was basically talking about the coming judgment to the people of God, he says, "As for me, I watch in hope for the Lord." Do you know something happens when you watch God? You find out, number one, he sees you. And number two, he's watching out for you. Do you think that we have escaped the torment of the world because we're nice people? No, because God is watching out for his people. And he says, "As for me, I watch in hope for the Lord," and as the word Yahweh there, the personal name of the covenant God. "I wait for God my Savior, because my God will hear me." Then he says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise." There's the hope, folks. Have you ever accidentally fallen and you go, "Well, I fell. I might as well just stay down here." But that's what we do sometimes in life, don't we? We have a difficulty, we fall, we slip in an area of life or whatever it is, and we go, "Yeah, I fell. I might as well stay there." How much sense does that make? Get back up. God will bring you up. "Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." This is Hebrew parallelism telling us that even if I'm fallen, even if I'm in darkness, God is a light to me. The Bible says God, dark and light are alike to God. In other words, the lights never go out on God. He's always in light because he is light. But it says here, "Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light." In the light, we see the glory of God. In the darkness, we behold his nature. We learn who he is. There is a phrase that I'm trying to find now, but I liked it. Oswald Chambers said, "Until we can look into the deepest, darkest place of our life and see the nature of God, we do not yet know him." Until we can do that. Because the tests of our life are just that. They're a test of us. But we often make them a test of who God is. And he hasn't changed. Dark and light. If you've fallen, get back up. Absolutely. Don't stay down there. The prophet, his name, Micah, means who is like God? Who's going to be like him? Nobody, except for him. There's no God in the world. There's no philosophy. There's no anything that's like God Almighty. Size it up. You'll see. Absolutely. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about, well, their God wouldn't do this. Their God can't do this. Do you want to serve a God that has any limits? I know I don't. I have enough of them. He has no limits. Finally, we're going to flip back to Ephesians. So we're going to put another letter in front of the word all. And it's going to be the word wall. You ever feel like you come up against a wall? You know, if you do, who bends first? Sometimes that's smarts. When I was a kid, I kid you not, the same day that my dad was throwing a telephone out the wall, through the window, my uncle was throwing my aunt right into the wall with such force that it did break into the wall. And I remember that. He didn't sign it or anything. And he got away with it. Walls are supposed to be a protection. They're supposed to be something that gives you safety. It should not be a place where you end up on the other end of it. And Jesus is our wall of safety, isn't he? In the second chapter of Ephesians, in the 14th verse. Great scripture. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. And it goes on, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. He's talking here about the Jews and the Gentiles and how he brought them together under him in Jesus Christ. He is the wall. He is the peace. If Jesus is only a piece, P-I-E-C-E, if he's only a piece of your life, you're going to have a lot of holes. But when he's peace, P-E-A-C-E, the Prince of Peace, you have a complete covering. You can choose how much of him you want influenced in your life. It says here, he broke down that wall, and you know what he did? He created the load-bearing wall that keeps us all alive. Load-bearing wall is the one that rests on it, and it bears the load resting on it by conducting it and its weight to the foundation structure. Other walls, they are just built to contain what's on them and what's in them. The load-bearing wall is a different one. Jesus is the load-bearing wall. He is not only connected to the foundation, he is the foundation. Aren't you glad he put it all together? Far as that goes, the Bible says here, it's talking about the law. God didn't do away with the law. What he did was he fulfilled it, so that it have no power over us, because it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but it's not to condemn us, because Jesus paid the price for us. And how many are glad he did that? When you think about being thankful, think about being thankful for all things, for all times, for the call of God that summoned you into his presence. For even when you fall, you'll rise up again in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the wall, he has built a structure so we can be safe. And he's it. He's the great structure. Now, I was reading this. We got the new books from Dave. November 18th, in case you want to look it up when you get the new book. It's talking about the lotus plant. It grows in a muddy, watery environment, very much like the water lily. Yet its leaves always seem spotlessly clean. How does a lotus plant keep itself clean even in muddy waters? The leaves of the lotus are large and quickly shed water. And when the leaves were examined, they were found to be waxy with microscopic bumps. And these countless tiny bumps were the key to its cleanliness. They caused the raindrops to break the surface tension, forming droplets, which then rolled off, taking dirt and grime with them. Do you know what keeps us clean as a Christian? The little bumps. You can't climb a mountain unless there's bumps. If it's smooth, you'd never get up there. And when we have these little bumps in life, God wants us to say, another opportunity, Lord, for you to bring forth your will and to show your blessing. Doesn't matter what the bumps are. What matters is who God is. And he'll keep us clean in the greatest way. If he does that in the plant life, imagine what he orchestrated for his highest creation, for us. And it's a wonderful thing. So be thankful for everything. Carry that tote bag around with you, huh? You've got one. And I pray it's full of thanksgiving. And it just comes out automatically. And all the grumbling, that goes down the sewer. That's where it belongs. It won't help you at all in your life. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you so much for the call that you have given us. You've summoned us out of darkness into light. And then, Lord, when we fall, whether we're not paying attention or we go in our own strength or we think we're free, we can live our own life again. Lord, you saved us to live your life, not to live ours. Because when you came here, you gave up your life to live our life. And you came as a man. Help us, Lord, to live our life for you in every possible way. Thank you, Lord, that you are the load-bearing wall that holds us up and keeps all of the structure safe. And for all the things in our lives, for our work, for our family, for our personal lives, and whatever those may contain, I pray, Lord, that the tote bag of thanksgiving would be abounding. And not only that, but we'd give it away to other people so they would begin to say thank you. Lord, let us not do it with a gritting of teeth, but with a gladness of heart. That is the way to show proper appreciation for the blessings of God. Lord, I ask you to take your word and make it real to our soul, Lord Jesus, so that, God, we're not fleeing from your liberty, but we're walking in it and glorifying your name, which is in heaven. Lord, I thank you for it, and I pray your blessing on each one and every family. Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. We will be having a Wednesday night Thanksgiving service, so please join us and stand for our final song. Count your many blessings.
God has done. Count your blessings, see what God has done.
And in your bulletin are some new email addresses for the church, which is info@lscwesleyan.com. For me, it's pastor@lscwesleyan.com. And then for the prayer needs, prayforme@lscwesleyan.com. The prayer thing has been, the email has not been functioning. So we're bringing it into the church one. So send your emails. If you're not on the email list and you'd like to be for prayer requests in particular, please let us know because we'd like to add you. Or if you're not getting them and you should be on there, let us know because maybe we entered it wrong. We did send it out last night, so if you're on there, there should be a little happy face or a little email that tells you of the change, but I just want to make sure. You know about that. The Bible says to count. Count. We can count our blessings. I can count them. I can count every one of you as a blessing. Okay? So I'm going to count Pastor Dennis as a blessing. And he's going to come up here and he's going to close in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, Lord. Every blessing is from you. And Lord, we just thank you that you are light and in you there's no darkness at all, that you are holy, Lord, and we can totally trust in you. Go with us, Lord. May our hearts overflow, Lord, with words of praise to you, for our cup overflows with your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.